Now, the final presentation, Alejo, on who did physical cosmology in Michigan, on theories of gravity, cosmological models, and galaxies. He does courses in state prisons. The title of his speech is Three Hypotheses of Science in the Face of the Wall. Two objectives. On the one hand, organize workshops on science in the transformation of the world. We will try to... I would like to address the thought that we generate in these encounters. We want to address what was coming. I would like to continue with the thought from last year and try to organize certain debates. I want to give a summary of hypotheses proposed last year with some questions. Like all questions, they anticipate certain responses. So some are more polemic than others. The three axes are, one, the function of science and the function of the hydra in production and reproduction of capital and its walls. Two, what do we mean by science? Three, what aspects of the wall can we see or understand from sciences? The function of science in the reproduction of capital and its walls. We want to deepen our criticism of science to understand the function of the state and the function and reproduction of capital. For example, last year, we spoke about technology. We talk about technology and GMOs with the goal of
sciences are already coupled to some sectors of capital that make possible their functioning, and in the sense they also reproduce capital. For example, we can ask, who is organizing the materials and the workforce to construct the multiple laboratory complexes or particle accelerators, like those in the US and France and Switzerland, or also the Earth telescopes of latest technology, like in the peaks of Mauna Loa, Hawaii, or the Atacama Desert in Chile. This project costs thousands of millions of dollars, and therefore they require investment of the state and sectors of capital, logistic capital, financial capital, and industrial capital. At the same time, many talks have made clear that however socialized science production is, their products of research is converted into a commodity, into a merchandise. It's privatized by the walls generated by the big journals like Nature and Physical Review, among others. So science as a social product is kept between walls or directly used to generate new technologies which are patented. To tell you quickly, social product, it's turned into a private property. We've also heard once and again the complicity of science with the processes in what the Compass called the Fourth World War. For example, in my own field of study in astrophysics, Shack-Hartmann sensors is a technology based in sensors which are basically used in the Earth telescopes in order to correct the images of faraway objects. When the image of a galaxy or a star passes through the atmosphere, it is distorted by the patterns of atmospheric change. So what astronomers do with the technique is correct those patterns, literally pointing lasers and correcting those aberrations due to the atmosphere. The same technology is now used in missiles in order to correct their trajectories to their destinies. Precising the processes of the universe is also making more precise the processes of Earth destruction. Another process is the elaboration of relativity theory, nuclear physics, and nuclear advancements in the political situations of the 20th century, which led to the production of the hydrogen bomb. We could also talk about chemistry in the processes necessary to produce tear gas, which are now being used in Buenos Aires or in Palestine. So what's clear is that science, hand in hand with technology, has a central function in relation to the repressive apparatus of the state and in the production of reproduction of capital. On the other hand, this science also has an ideological function. It doesn't work exclusively for repression. Ideology operates as a soft repression, smooth repression, almost without us noticing. For example, an astrophysicist tried to elaborate the production of the end of history in the last decade of the 20th century, saying that class struggle was over. And they were saying that we were living in the end of technological history. More specifically, physical cosmology says that dark energy, which now generates the accelerated expansion of the universe, will now dominate the dynamics of the universe. We really don't have the slightest idea of what we mean by pure energy, but this is the dominating paradigm of physical cosmology. There is a common sense that comes and goes in history and which science feeds off. With this, I could say that the venerated series of Cosmos by Carl Sagan, recently relaunched by Neil deGrasse Tyson, also operates as ideology. For example, there are constant affirmations that we're all one, that we're all connected with the universe, tends to raise the differences between those above and those below. We know that we're not all equal, even though it is said once and again. We are all sons and daughters of interstellar matter, but however, we're not all the same. So this is food for thought, and my proposal is to experiment with a series like Cosmos, but making it below and to the left, together with artists. What's clear with what I have said now in this first part is that science is always involved in the problematics of a certain era. And it also has a role in developing life and death. But there is a certain positioning about what is science, and this takes us to the second point of my talk, point two. What do we talk about when we say science? This second part, which is also powerful, also implicitly and explicitly, and it was shown in several of the talks of last year and this year, it's related to the realm of science. So it has to do with the definition of what is science. Some of the talks said that science is everything that produces predictions, a characterization that enraged several people. I think it's important to try to clarify what do we mean by science, because, for example, in these days, in the same meeting, we've been called to talk as scientists and not as something else. I think it's necessary to elaborate this debate. If I say something that is obvious, we we don't do all the same. We, some of us do physics, some mathematics, etc. So as much as we might talk about a certain scientific method, we have to explain what this supposed unity between one science and another is composed of. What is what unites us as scientists? What's the point, what's the common point of that which we call science? If we're honest with ourselves, with what we do day to day, this chaotic mixture, the coming and checking once and again, always in an imperfect way, our calculations, our experiments, this insistence of trying to integrate constantly with what we call reality, I think that we can rarely call this as one method. In the worst case, this chaotic mixture implies many methods. So all the heterogeneity of arbitrary things that we do to reach a result is always partial, but it's open to be questioned. It cannot be unified by a method. We could give several examples of the series of processes which led to what we now call the Copernican Revolution, in which a paradigm change was not successful by remaining tied to a certain method, to a certain belief, which was that the center of the universe is not the Earth, and that the Earth is also moving. In reality, this paradigm change wasn't successful because it was holding on to a preconceived method. Okay, I cannot elaborate this with a lot of detail, but I wanted to mention this in order to clear up several misunderstandings related to the scientific method. There is not a scientific method with universal principles, so there is no unity of science based in such a method. Opposed to some of the talks, my hypothesis is that many of the sciences have been more successful when they have disobeyed some of the principles of the so-called scientific method. So in order to be able to do anything, you have to be arbitrary, you have to be a rebel. So there are no universal fundamentals, and if so, I would like to discuss them. What we can say as a hypothesis is that science is more successful when it's rebel. We can say that although this part is important, this problem is related to the first question about the function of science and its relation with the Hydra, that is, in the production and reproduction of capital. Because if science is not thought only in relation to its method, but that science is itself a method or an instrument, we can think that this instrument might be influenced by social formations. We'd have to ask ourselves to which point scientific method implies that science is not determined by class struggle. I think it's important to point out that sometimes science is confused with technique. Sometimes people say science when they're meaning technique. Once again, if we think that science is an instrument and this instrument can be used in one way or another, then we're in contradiction with the first thing that we were saying. Science is always involved with the problems of its time. So if we emphasize that science is neutral, we forget that science are instances of social relations. Or are we not here to elaborate the processes of formation of society, beating the capitalist Hydra? So transforming science in order not to produce and reproduce the Hydra, but a better world. Probably there's no method, but arbitrary methods. You will try to say I'm a relativist, but not meaning the general relativity theory, but we'd have to discuss, for example, in relation to what the Compass of EZLN have said. It's part of the book of critical thought against capitalist Hydra. What I'm saying, what we have to think about, is the relative autonomy of science. this position also problematizes and takes a position in the situation of the science in respect to capital. And the third part. What cracks in the wall can we hear or see from the sciences? What do sciences offer in order to organize the transformation of society? The recent discovery of gravitational waves has revolutionized astrophysics. Gravitational waves act their perturbations in space-time, which is the conception that we have from general relativity on which our cosmological models are based. These waves are like oscillations in space-time. Gravitational waves act like a new window. They're phenomena, they allow us to see phenomena that before we couldn't see. It's said metaphorically that astronomers have developed like the capacity to listen to the universe when before we could only see it through electromagnetic waves that reach our telescopes with different frequencies of the electromagnetic spectrum. Like visible light, which we can see, X-rays, ultraviolet rays, gamma rays. The study of gravitational waves opens something like a crack to see the materiality of the universe in a different way. But to what point sciences allow us to listen or see or whatever something unique in the grid, in the cracks of the walls of capital? An example that has been talked about once and again last year is what we could call the precarity, the marginalization of scientific work, which was characterized as existential blah blah, which was not really relevant. In this case, we could say that this marginalization of sciences is not unique to sciences. In fact, it's much worse in human studies, and it's not exclusive to university workers. In this sense, it's important to say what has been said last year. What science workers are going through is only a symptom of work flexibilization implemented at global level due to capital accumulation and income maximization. That is, what science is going through is only a general part of the transformation of the state in the era of globalization. What's important, again, is to talk about this thing about which sciences in particular are undergoing these adjustments. As we've said, not all sciences are equal, and not all of them are situated in the same way in relation to production and reproduction of capital, although they're all under its logic. For example, in the US, the funds of the National Science Foundation for physical sciences has a constant trajectory in the last 47 years. That is to say, the NSF spends more or less the same today in 2017 than it was spending in 1970. In contrast with biomedical sciences, they're getting something like 6 times more money than what they were getting in 1970. So physical science receive the same, biological sciences are receiving 6 times more. Something similar happens with engineering, which receives a lot more money today than 40 years ago. Okay, the point is that we have to take into consideration the nuances and think carefully the relation between sciences and value. So in a society that would not be ruled by the law of value, what scientific activity, what human activity would we support? So in what's coming next, when the world is not dominated by the capitalist hydra, how would we solve the tension between science and democracy? More specifically, how would we solve instances in which the supposed advancement of science is not complementary with democracy? Let me tell you the story of the struggle in Mauna Kea, which, as I mentioned before, is a holy mountain in Hawaii, which also hosts one of the best astronomic observatories. The fight against colonization of this mountain has been constant. In 2014, there were road cuts by the indigenous Hawaiian communities that were trying to interrupt the flux of workers and materials for the telescope. this was supposed to be the greatest microscope that we have, one of the largest microscopes that would be 30 meters in diameter. Which would allow us to see objects that are farther away. This project cost $1.4 million and is organized by a private foundation and private and public universities like the California Institute of Technology and the University of California. Scientists are saying that objectively Mauna Kea is the best place for observation with telescope and consequently for the construction of this 30-meter telescope. They insist that there is no other place in the Northern Hemisphere like Mauna Kea. So scientists are saying that the location of this telescope is not arguable. In contrast, indigenous groups say that the construction of this telescope will continue the desacralization of their sacred mountain, but would also accelerate the process of degradation of the environment. They also mentioned that the promises of the governors and astronomers, this telescope will not improve the difficult life of Hawaiian indigenous people. So the roadblocks and the pressure, apparently this won't be able to stop the construction of the telescope. Science advances, as they say, like the train of history, accumulating tragedies in its way. For now, it's not clear what the future of this 30-meter telescope will be, but the struggle is going on. So beyond the operation, the international operation that is doing this project, we know that capital doesn't have borders, and there's a lot of money in between. This situation shows a fundamental problem that we haven't discussed in depth. In a society which is not ruled by capital, how would we solve the contradiction between the advancement of science, which postulates itself as knowledge from reality, so which judges what is real and what not, and other priorities that are directly opposed to the advancement of science? I think there's a fundamental tension between science and democracy. Beyond this, the Mauna Kea situation tries to demonstrate that we cannot sentence sciences as such. Even the most innocent science, the least preoccupied for terrestrial problems, astronomy, cannot escape the Hydra. As Cecilia was saying yesterday, capitalism imposes a culture of destruction. So my hypothesis is that sciences do not give us a unique perspective or a unique way to understand the walls of above. Like any other human activity, it's already subsumed in the logic of capital, although it should also be capable to escape this logic. If it wasn't like this, we wouldn't be here today. So to summarize, these are the hypotheses. Number one, it's not enough to criticize science and how it's used by ideological or repressive apparatus of states, or how science produces and reproduces our capitalist society. It's not enough to criticize scientific production and how it's related to domination techniques. It's not enough to say it's guilty or to try to defend it. In this case, I'm not sure that science is manipulated, because if it's so, this would imply that we could recover something like a neutral science, which is not captured by the society in which it exists. Even the most innocent sciences, so to speak, like astrophysics or cosmology, they're already the wall. They work in such a way. Science is not manipulated by capital. It's part of it. It's benefited directly from its production and reproduction, and it also reproduces it. Scientific production is capitalist because the system, the social formation, is which actually organizes life and death in the world in which we live. Sentencing sciences as guilty of the global walls of destruction, of exploitation, is to forget the social relations of which science has emerged. Number two, it's not possible to talk about science as a homogeneous activity. And it's not possible to say that its unity is constituted by a method. there are no rigid rules of scientific activity. In fact, the most successful science tends to be the most rebel science, and we don't refer to exits to success simply with publication. We could call it here like cool science. Science is multiple, and exactly in this multiplicity, it's most effective. That is to say, when it's not limited by philosophical speculations or metaphysical speculations, of which concerns its activity and its methods. It's also not possible to think the sciences exclusively as scientists, because, as we have mentioned, it's always related to social relations. As autonomous as it might be, it's always related to social determinations. So, like, it's to say, its relation with reality depends. Number three, sciences do not offer a unified perspective to understand the Hydra and its walls, because it's also subsumed by capital like any other activities. Because science, if it's something, it's a process, it's a relation. It's not a neutral object that works on reality independently of it. If so, sciences are not offering us a privileged place to transform society. That's to say, it's not enough to organize as scientists. Like Comrade Julia from Karakolov Oventik said yesterday, we have to make revelry a way of existence. Because the point is not to transform science as it is, but society in its whole. Thank you.